How many of you want that today? Want the Lord to be glorified in your life? Amen. The deacon in the back raised his hand really, really high. I guess so when you drive a Harley Davidson. In all sincerity, the greatest thing we can give the Lord God is to make his heart please. Often the psalmists, throughout the Psalms, one of the primary things is to be pleased with me, O Lord. And I see that also in the four Gospels. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ himself always told the religious leaders, I'm here to please my Father. He didn't care about the opposition that was coming at him. What he cared about deeply was that he pleased God. And that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit helped me sharing with you. It doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter what you do for a living. Doesn't matter, really, what your family's like. What matters is you. Are we pleasing God? And that, we're not talking about going out there and doing what we call righteous works, so things can be tabulated in heaven. Oh, chalk this one up, Lord. I did this. No. Is your heart right with God? Or you like this little baby that's on his mother's lap. Don't even know what trust is. Doesn't know what care is. Just as bubbly and joyful. Can you be like that with the Lord Jesus Christ for a moment? Can you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your heads are bowed right now? Can you sincerely of heart tell the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to please you right now? Lord, I know we're gathered here in your name, but can I just sit here, Jesus, in your presence? Can I just reminisce with you and Father? Holy Spirit, will you help me? Help me block out everything, every distraction, every thought, cast it down, and allow nothing but the pure presence of God to flow into my heart. Because there's nothing greater. Lord Jesus, there's nothing on earth that we can compare with you. Nothing. And Lord, our heart's desire right now is to glorify your name. We want you to be pleased with us. We want Father to be pleased with us. We want you, Lord God, to embrace your son on our behalf and say, that's my son, that's my daughter down there. Look at him, look at her. And we know by the Holy Spirit that you're talking about us. Because our life is here to reflect the glory of God on earth. Our life is here to show forth the majesty of Jesus Christ. Our life is here to proclaim Jesus is Lord and Jesus is Lord alone. And so, Lord God, as we get ready to look intently into your word, as we're getting ready to sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to the church this morning, Lord, we desire nothing more than others around us to hear what the Spirit of the living God is saying to us. And then, Father, help us to yield to that. Help us to walk in it. Help us to share it. Help us to proclaim it so people can see it in our lives day in and day out, Lord. Then, like David said, then they will know that there's a God in Israel, that you, the Lord God, is here. Lord Jesus, when people see us doing what you have ordered us to do, they will know that you're here. And so, Father, thank you for the wonderful singing of your children, the wonderful playing of your daughter, your son. Thank you, Lord God, that we get the opportunity, we get the blessing from heaven today to be in your holy presence. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because you're worthy, Lord. Thank you. So now speak, Lord. Speak. For your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray, and let the people of God say, amen. Amen. How would you like to have been the person that's sitting or standing, and all of a sudden the glory of God showed up? You're standing in the doorway of your tent, and the man Moses goes out to the tabernacle, and all of a sudden God shows up in a big cloud. How would you like to witness that? Huh? Wouldn't that would be something exciting to see, to be a part of? And the Bible tells you and I that when the people saw that, they began to worship God while they were standing in the door of their tents. When God showed up, people forgot about everything else. Because the most precious person in all existence was now, he just arrived. He just arrived. What if you're that audience of one? What if you, all of a sudden, sitting down and you're praying in the Spirit? You're praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost takes you to a place that you've never been. And you don't know if you are sleeping, having a dream, or having a vision, but it is real. That's where John is right now. In chapter 20 of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20, here we are once again. the man John, on the island of Patmos. God has shown him a lot of things already, but nothing like what he's about to see. Nothing at all. He is about to witness something that no human being had ever witnessed before. He is about to see God move in such a way that he had never seen God move before. And the very first thing that God is about to show this man who had walked with Jesus Christ for a long time, he was about to be seen, you know, given a revelation that he had never received before. And he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, the veil of his eyes are open. And there he is looking at this horrendous place, this place of darkness, this place of evil, a place that I've never seen before. And he's observing what this angel, this great messenger of God, is about to show him. And it's no time to be afraid, no time to be scared. Because let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost is in you, when the Holy Ghost is moving, when the Spirit of God is on fire in you, no spirit of doubt, no spirit of fear can touch you. Amen. And so John, there he is. And I don't know how this message is going to go today. I never do. I never know what the Spirit of God is going to do. Because I'm subject to him and not to myself. And so here we are in verse 1. And John is sitting there. And folks, it's like a picture show. He's an audience of one. Imagine that's you. Because that's the way the Holy Spirit wants you to see this today. Imagine this is you. And the Lord Jesus Christ have a message to show you. He has some things to unfold before you. And you are now center stage. Watch what happens. Pay attention and don't get lost in the scenery. Watch what God does. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. That means somebody is about to go to jail. Somebody is about to be incarcerated. Because God, chief jailer, just showed up. Glory to God. Do you understand that? There's no angel like this angel. And he showed up for one reason and one reason only. He's about to arrest somebody. Look at what the scriptures just said. Who is this angel? Why? What's in his hands? Say he's carrying a what? A great chain. It's not something that can be plucked apart. That means his task, whoever he's coming to arrest, this chains have got to be able to do what? Hold that person, be able to bound that person and keep that person. And what you didn't notice, it says that he came with what? Look at the text again. Look at it very closely. Having a key to the bottomless pit. I mean, this is God's warden of hell. This is God's chief correctional officer. And he's coming in to do something. And he's holding the keys to a place known as the bottomless pit. In Hebrew and in the Greek, it's called the abyss. And in the abyss is the place where the most heinous demons have been arrested and are held in custody by God. And these demons are so bad that God would not allow them to go free like the rest of their contemporaries. You never seen evil until if God will unleash these boys. And yet this angel is the one Jesus Christ is using to bound them. These babies have been bound for a long, long time. And now they were about to get another visitor. Are you hearing me? Let me describe the abyss to you. It is the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 1, which says that there were water of the deep, the face of the deep, was covering what? The earth. That there was darkness upon the earth. Folks, the word that's described there is the Greek word abusso, which means abyss. And the definition of the abyss is this. Are you ready for it? Because your English mindset tells you, oh, this is just a place of water, place of darkness, place where jaws go. Some of you like to think from Hollywood. Do not use your Hollywood image to understand this place. This is a place of nothing but pure evil and wickedness like you've never seen it before. This is the place that Paul says in the book of Romans that the Lord Jesus Christ himself went. Are y'all hearing me? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stepped down off the cross into the abyss. Paul said it. He said before he ascended into heaven, he first descended into the abyss. The place where the most meanest, nastiest demon spirit that are in existence. You think it's some wickedness on the earth now? You ain't seen nothing until God unleashed them boys. Will you hear me? Now God is about to do something. God is about to do something so wonderful and so loving for the human race. And yet, at this very moment, what's going on the earth? What's taking place on the earth? There's nothing but pure hell going on the earth. Nothing but chaos, confusion, killing, raping, maiming, you name it, stealing, plundering. All kinds of wickedness are taking place on the earth. I got a second preacher. And so, all kinds of destruction also has been taking place on earth. The Lord Jesus Christ has unleashed divine judgment upon the earth. The different bowls of judgment, okay? The different trumpets of judgment. The bowls have been poured out. The trumpets have sounded. God is doing something, and millions upon millions upon millions of humans are now dead. And their souls are waiting for the eternal judgment of God. And simultaneously, Christian and the others on that row, while all of this calamity is taking place on the earth, God's children are also here. Hello. There are saints here. Okay? The Holy Spirit is still at work here. And now John is looking and he's observing this great angel coming down from heaven, having the keys to the bottomless pit and this great chain in his hand, ready to carry out the mission of God upon the one whom God tells him. And in the next verse, it tells you and I, and he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. There was no struggle. There was no fight. When this angel approached him, he wrapped him up in those chains. And it was nothing the devil could do. Why? Come on, somebody. Why? Because this angel has been commissioned by Jesus Christ himself. He has been empowered by Christ himself. And it may have been Michael, the archangel. The same one in chapter 12 we see cast Satan out of heaven. May have been him. We don't know. But what we do know is that the devil couldn't hide. And he couldn't fight. He couldn't overcome this. All he could do was surrender. As this angel bound him with the chain of heaven, with the power of Almighty God, and with the authority of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Amen. And he takes him. And it casts him into that bottomless pit. And he closes the gate and puts God's lock on it. And there was nothing Satan could do. Nothing. And there, the Bible tells you and I that Satan will be there for 1,000 years, or use the Latin term, a millennium. 1,000 years. Can you imagine living on the earth where there is no chaos from Satan, no deception, no hell raising, because the Lord Jesus Christ just had him bound? Oh, y'all ain't getting it. You're not getting it. Do you understand that? How would you like to live here trouble free? No, oh, somebody getting it. No harassment from the spirit world. 1,000 years. 1,000 years of trouble free from Satan. Hallelujah! Somebody ought to be shouting. Oh, come on. Do you understand that? So this serpent of old, the one who was in the garden, the one who tricked Eve into eating the forbidden fruit, he has now been bound. Amen. And God had cast his butt in jail. He's now in the prison of Almighty God. And he's not going anywhere for 1,000 years. Imagine your greatest enemy just been locked up. The one who's been deceiving the nations has now been locked up. The whole world should break out in celebration and shout hallelujah. The whole world should be saying praise the Lord, glorify the Lamb who sits upon the throne. The whole world should be celebrating Jesus when this happens. Amen. Because what God just did, it had never been done before. Since the day in the garden, man has been harassed by Satan for thousands and thousands of years. And God just said, I'm about to give you a break. Come on, are you getting this? Your children can now live harassment free from the evil one. You know that part of the Lord's Prayer when it said, and keep us from evil? Well, the proper translation of that says, and keep us from the evil one. Imagine now you don't have to pray that. Huh? Instead of saying, Lord, keep us from the evil one, say, Lord, thank you. You have locked them up. Amen? You set us free from him. And so, he's there. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him. Hello, somebody. The other demons down there, the angels that are being held there, according to the book of Jude, who had left their first estate, their first dwelling, God is holding them in the same place, in the place of darkness. They don't have a seal on them, but this one does. Why? Because if you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it tells you and I that he's able to masquerade himself. That means he could change forms. Hello. I think maybe he can look like the rest of them when they go to come get him. But just like his son Cain, God did what? Put a seal upon him. God said, you can't run and you can't hide. I know exactly who you are, Satan. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ had his angel put a mark upon him. There he is! Go get him, boys. Wow. And can you imagine that literally millions upon millions upon millions of angels in that bottomless pit? And all of a sudden, their master shows up in chains. Whoa! Can you imagine that? They thought he was somebody until they see him come in chains, in shame. Oh, glory, God didn't get that, did you? Yeah. Can you imagine them seeing that? And they may want to try and rip him apart themselves, because they now see him as a failure, a weakling. Because they were the ones who were deceived by him. He was the cause of them to walk away from God and to commit high treason against God. When they had everything going for them. Why do you think the demons, every time they seen the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, we know who you are. Can you imagine if the word gets back to them? You mean what the master have? What? No! And every demon on earth running and hiding, getting out of here. Why? Because their superhero has now just been arrested. And they didn't think it was possible. They thought their master ruled the earth.
No one compares to God,
sister. Amen. Hallelujah. No one compares to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you understand what God just did in the spirit world? He just gave the spirit world a big punch. He shut the operations down. Woo! He just bankrupted the kingdom of darkness. Took their CEO and put his butt in jail. Yes. Lord Jesus Christ gave the command. Can you imagine that? So all those demons that showed up during Christ's crucifixion, when Satan showed up, because Satan was bold. Do y'all remember what he did? Do you remember on the night of the Last Supper? He walked in the room like he owned it. He had some boldness. He had some courage. He walked in right up to Judas in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that something? That took some boldness.
Yeah.
And walked right in and entered Judas, right in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you think Lord Jesus didn't forget that? Huh? But it wasn't his time to oppose Satan then, because he knew what the plan was. Hello, somebody. He know what the master plan is. Amen. And he's the one to carry it out. So go ahead and have your day, Mr. Devil, because I got a day coming for you. Hey, glory to Christ. Come on, somebody. Glory to Jesus. That old devil walked in, entered Judas, had the audacity to be sitting at the same supper table as God. Isn't that something? An hour later, he meets him in the garden, and then he gives the master a kiss on the cheek. Isn't that something, old foul mouth thing, kissing the Lord? But he did, in Judas. And you don't think God didn't think about that? Huh? He put his old nasty stinking lips on his son? Hello. Uh-huh. I'm trying to get you to understand the scriptures, folks. But God said, I got something for you. Okay? I'm going to show you how powerful and how much authority you don't have. Instead of I'm coming to arrest you, I'm going to send one of my servants to arrest you. Woo! Hey! Can you imagine that? God said, you don't want me to show up, devil. Huh? So I'm going to just send one of my little servants to go get you. Go get him. Angel shows up. Come here. And Satan couldn't run and he couldn't hide. Neither could he fight. Because his powers had been rendered what? Useless. Yeah, baby. Go ahead and clap. Give God some glory. Because do you know who we serve? Do you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Yes. Now, needn't I remind you about eternity past? Jesus had just commissioned the 70. And you read about it in Luke chapter 10. Wonderful, wonderful, beautiful story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great testimony about him. And they came back. And boy, were they on fire, Deke. They were bragging. And let me tell you, they were having a good time. And the Lord put them in their place because they came back and said, Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Amen. Oh, well, yes, in my name. You betcha you were able to cast out demons because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall what? Wow. Come on now. And every tongue do what? Confess that Jesus is what? Lord. Amen. So at the name of Jesus, you bet those demons they went squeaking out of them. Huh? And so they came back, Zor, and they're excited. Okay? Now, we're not talking about the original 12 now. These are 70 other disciples that the Lord Jesus Christ commissioned. He ordained them and sent them out two by two. Okay? This is not Peter and John them. These are others. These are Arve and Christian and Zor. Okay? They're types that he sent out. And they came back, boy. Woo, they had a story. They have never seen anything like that. But what they were about to hear was shocked their little world. And probably will shock yours too. Here's what Lord Jesus Christ said to him. And you got to get this because this is huge. You've got to get this, okay? The Lord Jesus Christ told them. He said, I saw Satan, or I beheld Satan. The word beheld also means I saw. He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Yes. Okay, y'all not with me. What does that mean, preacher? That means Jesus Christ was sitting on the throne when the angel kicked Satan out of heaven. That means Jesus Christ is God.
Right. Yeah.
He was sitting on the throne observing it happen. Amen. You don't have to work. He doesn't have to lift a finger. He got servants that carry out his plan. That's what you and I are supposed to do in his name. We have greater authority than the angels in his name. We're to go and cast out demons in his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have the same authority as that angel did. But do we use it? We have the authority over sickness and disease in his name. And in his name we can raise the dead. You're going, what? He said, greater works than these you shall do. Why? Because I go back to the Father. And so, why are we doubting? Why? The angel showed up and boy, what a message, what a testimony for the church. The angel showed up not doubting to come here. And bound him. And cast his butt into the abyss. Just like that. Why can't you and I say, come here, in the name of Jesus, cancel, come out of her. And it's done. Just like that. Yes, we can, and yes, we will. And yes, we are. Amen? Amen? Operating in the supernatural. That angel is supernatural. That's all he knows how to do is operate what? In the supernatural. Okay? Because that's who he is. He's not earthly. He's not human. So that's all he does is operate in the what? In the supernatural. God is what? Supernatural. That's all he does. That's normal. The Lord Jesus Christ is what? Supernatural. That's all he does, even though he does do have a human body. You go, whoa, 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 he looked just like me. Look in the mirror and go, whoa, Jesus looked like me. Boy, he's one handsome dude. That's right, he's God who does what he wants. And Vicky was brushing her dude this morning. Oh, Jesus, so pretty, isn't he? I look just like my Lord, Dora. Don't sit there. Look at the streak of blonde. Look at Jesus. The radiance of Jesus. Amen? Yeah, are y'all getting this? And so, Tamara, can you imagine now? It says, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. 1,000 years of peace, Christian. Harassment free. The enemy of God cannot bother you and I again for 1,000 years.
Amen.
1,000 years. And see, we can't fathom that because we can't imagine ourselves living past 100. Newsflash. On that day, God got something for you. Do you hear me? The abundance of life that Lord Jesus has for you, you'll begin to experience it for that 1,000 years. Know why? Because listen to the text. All right? Listening, as we move on here, say, but after these things, he must be released for a little while. And folks, pardon the expression, when the angel goes back down to release Satan. Can you imagine Satan gonna be madder than? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got it. But I know one angel he won't mess with. The one who bound him. Amen? But guess who's going to come after him? I mean, guess who he's going to come after? He's going to come with a vengeance. Babies, it's time to get rooted and grounded in the scriptures. Okay? It's time to get rooted and grounded. Because in Daniel chapter 7, the word of God tells you and I that the enemy of God, Satan, is going to come after you and he's going to come after me. For a time and a half a time. What does that mean? 3.5 years he's going to come after you and me. That means Zor, he's got a homing device on you. He's going to search you out. He's going to hunt you down like a hound dog. And that means Arve, he's going to come get you. And he's going to batter your mind with stuff like you've never seen before. You think there was deception going on before God bound him. This time Satan going to unleash everything he has. Every bit of weakness that he can muster up. He's going to bring against the saints. Are y'all hearing me? And the false prophet and the beast are going to begin to perform miracles that's going to seem so real. You're going to think those miracles, those wonders, those signs are going to be from God. But they're not. And listen to what the word of God says about this. Listen to what the Spirit of God is about to tell you. Listen. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is known as 1,000 year or the millennium rule. These are the ones who oppose the Antichrist. They refuse to give in to him. And it was hunted down and slaughtered like pigs. Heads chopped off. Will you hear me? The book of Daniel, Daniel saw this. And Daniel said, and the beast came against the saints, and he was overcoming them. Overcoming them. Meaning, he was beheading. He was destroying. Conquering saints. Arresting you. Torturing you. And then beheading you. And Daniel said, until the Ancient of Days steps in and stops it. Are you hearing me? So we get to celebrate for a little while, for 1,000 years. And those saints who were beheaded get to rule with the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Yes. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The first resurrection. The Greek word there for resurrection is anathesia. I'm getting tongue-tied. What's the Russian name that they like to use? The girl that was in the play. Anna what? Yes. That is the Greek word for resurrection. Didn't know that, did you? Anyway, Paul said that the Lord himself will descend from where? From heaven. He's going to step down from heaven onto the clouds with an angel. Okay? With the angel of God who's carrying this trumpet. And he said, and with a great shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise. The dead in Christ shall rise. Excuse me. The ones that's been beheaded are going to get up. The ones who have died in Christ Jesus will get out of the graves. Can you imagine being at a funeral and all of a sudden the person in the casket gets out? Can you imagine being in the graveyard at a funeral and then graves all around you open up? Huh? How would you like to be the mortician dressing a body and all of a sudden it disappears? But the dead in Christ shall rise first. And the Greek word there is paraza. Means you're going to be called up from this earth. And that's where the English word rapture comes in at. Y'all, you hearing me? And then Paul says, those who are left, those of us who will be alive, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the sky. Where? On the clouds. And there we shall be with the Lord forevermore. Come on, somebody heard it? Are you hearing this? God is going to pull his children out of here. Now there are three views out there that you need to be aware of. One is called pre-trib, meaning a pre-millennium. That means before the thousand-year reign, before God, for Lord Jesus have Satan bound, the church will be pulled out of here. Boom. And there's a view called a millennium that believes that we're already living in it. After the period of Christ went home, then the thousand-year millennium began. I don't know how they count that one. And then there's the ones who call post-millenniums. Meaning they believe that the church won't be pulled out until the thousand-year reign is over. Folks, I'm here to tell you, don't fix your eyes on neither one of those. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Because whenever he decides to come back, he's coming. And you better be ready. Amen. Amen? And so the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be sitting above his children. And you're going to get a chance to rule with him. The ones who were beheaded is very specific. And maybe the other ones, because we don't know yet. But we get to be with Jesus. Are you hearing me? We get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I didn't put on a watch today. And so, where's Satan? Bound. He's bound. While you get the chance to talk to Jesus, our Lord, face to face. You get to walk up and touch him. Okay? And it doesn't have a scrubby face. You get to sit and eat with him. As the previous chapter told us, blessed is he who's called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You get a chance to eat at the table of God. Amen. You get the opportunity to see God face to face and not die. Because as the Lord had told Moses, no man could see my face and live. You get a chance to talk to Jesus and ask him all those questions. But newsflash for you. He said, the former things have passed away. All things have become new. So those questions that you have won't be about the old things. Because they won't exist.
Amen.
So here we are. Listen to this. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. They will remain in the grave. Not God's children now, not the church. This is the first resurrection. In verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. God has a blessing for you and not a curse. Blessed is he who's called in the first resurrection. Blessed is he. That means you're blessed because the Lord Jesus Christ has chosen you and me to be a part of the first resurrection. We are going home together. But if you're in the second resurrection, you are in trouble.
Amen.
So blessed is he who's called in the first resurrection. When Jesus steps out and says to the angels, go get my children. And it's literally going to be a snatching. That's what it represents, a snatching. They're going to go into the grave and snatch you out. And the moment they do that, you will receive a glorified body. That old corrupt body, that old body that was subject to sin, will all of a sudden be changed into a brand new body that has been never touched by sin and never will be touched by sin. Never, never, never. It's blessed is you, that cigarette smoke plague body that you have. Not in this resurrection. God's going to change it just like that. The body that had cancer in it won't have cancer or no traces of cancer in it anymore. The body that's been cut up, no more cuts, no scars to even show. Okay? The body that's been decimated by fire, no, the fire will give that body up. Are you hearing me? The sea will give those bodies up. So you're understanding what God has in store for you. So this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he. Blessed and holy. Those are the key words. Blessed and holy. If you're not holy, you're not going to be blessed. And if you're not blessed, you're not going to be a part of the first resurrection. So in order to be holy, you must belong to Jesus. Period. It's the only way you can be holy. Muhammad can't make you holy. Confucius can't make you holy. The New Age movement can't make you holy. Only the blood of Jesus can make you holy. Period. Well, you're intolerant. Call me intolerant. But you're not politically correct. I don't care. Call me not being politically correct. Newsflash for you then, Mr. and Mrs. World. You called me all these things, right? When that trumpet sound called me gone.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hello, somebody caught it. So you say whatever you want to. God calls me blessed. God called me holy. Oh, that's a label we all hold. You know what? We ought to make shirts and things and put on the back of them, blessed and holy.
Amen.
Amen? Because that's what the word just said. That you're blessed and you're holy. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus Christ himself has done this. This is not works of man. Christian, it's not by your choice that the Lord Jesus Christ has made you blessed and holy. It is by the will of God that Jesus came and died on the cross for you. You and I had nothing to do with it. Because the only thing we ever know is to rebel against God. Even as his children, even those of us that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, even those of us that are filled with the Spirit of God, still rebel against God. And if you say I don't, you're lying. Hello. How many of us still carry grudges against a brother or sister because he or she made them angry? The Bible says that's sin.
Yes, it is.
Huh? And yet we want to come into the house of the Lord and praise him. Jesus said, if you have an ought against your brother and you come in to offer a gift on the altar to God, he says, do what with that gift?
Leave it at
the altar. Don't even offer it to God. Amen. Go back and be reconciled with your brother. In other words, in modern day times, you want to equate that to modern day times? Don't come in here to praise God when you got things wrong with your brother and sister. Go back and fix it. And then come into the house of the Lord and shout praises to his name. Amen? Offer up sacrifices of praise. Other than that, keep your mouth shut. Because you haven't done the first works, Mr. and Mrs. Christian. I'm not talking about you now. And so, blessed and holy are the children of God. Blessed and holy. Are you understanding this? And so here we are marching along. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ. I want to tell you something right now, ladies. Look at me, you sisters in here. You have lived in a male chauvinist society all of your life. God will break that. Today, you're being told that women cannot be priests. What does the word of God say about that now? It said, you shall be priest of God and of Christ.
Amen.
Look at the text. I didn't make it up. Are you hearing me, sisters? There's no inequality with God. Are you hearing me? On that day, you get the chance to put on a priestly garment just like I do. And you get to do the same work as I do. And you get the same blessing as I do. Other words, you get the same pain. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, one sister heard it. So there won't be any discrimination against you anymore in the house of God. Because God will set the record straight. And who's going to argue with God and Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? You can't give her the same pay as you give me. She's a girl. You wouldn't even be there if you had that kind of thought. Hey, man, you wouldn't even get through the gate. Well, we're on time. Amen. We're finishing this part up. And so it says, now when 1,000 years have expired, folks, things are about to change again. Now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Folks, it is about to be a huge battle. It is about to be a huge upset on earth. Gog and Magog. Those are the armies north of Israel. Gog and Magog. These are the ones that are to the east of Israel. These are the armies of the world who have now gathered together to make war against Israel and against the Lamb of God. Satan has now gone on a universal, in other words, a worldwide recruitment of the armies of the earth. And yes, according to Revelation 16:16, the United States is a part of the nations of the world. You don't think God didn't know the United States didn't exist in that day by name? He knew them by nations. Are you hearing me? Now it is time. Satan said, I'm about to get my revenge. And to do so, he has now gathered over 1 billion soldiers from around the world. Imagine that number. Over 1 billion, maybe 2 or 3 billion by this time, are now on Satan's side. People who once said, I will defend my country because God first and country second, they are now saying, I will now defend my country. Did you catch that? What was left out?
God.
Because now their God just been released from the bottomless pit. They have now chosen to fall away. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, in the latter days, the Spirit expressly says there will be a great falling away. And they'll go after demons. A big recruitment by the demonic world after people who sit up in the church. Are y'all hearing this? Read the scriptures. Ask the Holy Ghost to tell you what does this mean? They're going to go out the seducing spirits and the spirits are going to tell them, come on, yeah, we got what you want. And they're going to run to them. They're no longer going to want to hear the pure gospel, sis. That's how they're going to be able to be deceived by the evil one. Because when you don't believe in the truth of the gospel anymore, you believe in what? A lie. So here we have it. He's going to go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners there, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is the sand of the sea. This army is so huge, so big, so enormous that they can't even number it. Can you imagine that? You know, well, why can't God get that many folks to come to church? Because people have chosen whom they will serve. Just like the great warrior of God named Joshua standing before Israel before he died, he said, you choose this day who you're going to serve. He said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Those people have chosen who they will serve. And you see it now. They're being prepped today who they're going to serve. Where are they? Do you see them? They're in another number, in another house. And they put up signs on the outside, say, the house of God, come to us. And they're advertising. If you want your church to grow, we'll show you how to grow your church. Woo! That's a very dangerous place to be. Because the word of God says, unless the Lord builds a house, huh? They that builds it in what? In vain. God must build this house, not us. So, Ms. Vicki, the moment has come. Satan is in the mindset against God. You got me once, but you won't get me again. And this time I'm going to show the world who's the one true God. And he's deceived billions. Nothing like you have ever seen before. Yeah, I'm getting ready to close. This is where we are. Verse 9, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. We're now surrounded. The saints on the earth are now surrounded. Jerusalem is now surrounded. Satan's main goal is to destroy Jerusalem and the saints of God. Are you hearing me? Let's look at these last 2 minutes here. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Somebody heard it. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are. God has already took care of two of his principalities. Now God just went after Satan. And this time, it is no escaping. And it doesn't get the luxury of the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. This time, God has sentenced him to the lake of fire, where he will feel pain himself for eternity. Watch it now. Watch. Watch the Lord. Look at Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. That's what's in store. The Lord's willing, next week we will look at the final judgment against mankind. And man will finally get the opportunity to see who Jesus Christ, the Son of God, really is. there would be no one to get in the way of God's judgment. It cannot be stopped. Are you hearing me? Very powerful word from God. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Fix your eyes on Jesus, and God will take care of you. Every head bow now. Fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. God will take care of you. There won't even be a struggle on that day. All those armies, as powerful as they are, won't even be a struggle. So fire came down from heaven and devoured them. In a twinkling of an eye, Deke, they were all gone. All the one was left was Satan. And then God snatches him out of here and throws him into the lake of fire. Folks, you need to be telling people now, every head bow, you need to be telling people whose side that they need to be on. They need to choose a side now. They need to choose. And some don't even know that they have a choice to make. But there is a choice. The choice is Jesus. Either with Jesus or without Jesus. There's no other side. If you're on the other side, you are against Jesus. And we need to be telling them. Father, thank you for such a powerful word. To let you and your people know, Mr. and Mrs. Saint, that God has a plan. And that plan is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. That they all surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus loves them. And there's a day coming in which he's going to have his angels snatch us out of here. But there will still be souls down here to be saved. And as what we see in the scriptures, there are going to be saints here until that last great day. Lord Jesus, when you destroy Satan's army and save your people, Lord, today empower us by the Holy Spirit to go forth and to proclaim this gospel, saying that Satan has been deceiving you, but the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ will set you free from that deception and save you. Lord, have your way now. Have your way. Is anyone here wants us to pray for him? If you desire prayer, if you want us to pray for you, come on up. The Holy Spirit is present to pray for you, to touch you with the power of God. God is so awesome in this place. Jesus Christ is Lord here. He sits on high. He is enthroned here. This is his place. He has established his footsteps here. We belong to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Jesus is Lord. Yes, Jesus is Lord. The Spirit is present to touch anyone that needs to be touched right now. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You want us to pray with you, or are you just moving back up?
I need you to pray with us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, little Knox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, I'm very sick with the ear infections. I don't know if
they're... Oh, yeah? Well, come on. Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against the ear infections. Let his body be plagued no more in the name of Jesus with ear infections. Holy Spirit, seal his ears now. Seal them for the glory of Christ right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, anoint this little one to serve you all the days of his life. Save him at an early age, Lord, and fill him with the Holy Spirit. And let him stand before many, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Strengthen now, Father, for eternity. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Touch his mama too now, Lord. Touch her right now. Touch Emily, Lord. And give her a fresh anointing right now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. I want y'all to look up here and see this. What is he holding in his hand? He's holding a mic. That's powerful. That means you have the mic to carry forth the gospel. Glory to God. He's starting early. Amen. All right. You can go ahead and dismiss us, Deke. Either one of you. Yeah.